Channel 2 over, and the beginning of this visit, Mr. Weaver, in the middle of the day, a little past this second, Tuesday, the 2nd of May, 72. Channel 2 over, and the beginning of this visit, Mr. Weaver, past the middle of the day, this Tuesday, the 2nd of May, 72, to give me some information on old Jack Herring's short talk this morning. Channel 2 over, and beginning of the visit, Mr. Weaver, past the middle of the day, this Tuesday, the 2nd of May, 72.
You know, I hadn't had any lunch, and I was just getting ready to eat some chocolate ice cream.
Well, you go ahead, I'll
eat a little chocolate ice cream. So, we'll just let him take his, get his clothes changed.
Was the cow out over in the, way over in the field somewhere?
I don't know where she is. He just, had a, I don't think it's any distance. Not a bit. Well, you know, a car will flood, won't it?
Yeah, it sure will.
You'll have to eat a little ice cream with me while I eat mine.
Thank you.
I know you like chocolate ice cream.
Well, listen, I'm eating a little ice cream every day.
Mr. Weaver?
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you, I'm putting a strip of britches on there.
Well,
just 10 seconds.
Get ready and then let's go on and I can do this when I come back.
Well, I want to ask you.
Uh-huh.
I never heard anything like that before, what Jack Herring said this morning. About that dog.
Oh, well, Jack gets confused.
Well, let me tell you, he says, I want to know what he said. He says, you pick up a sack and that dog knows that you're going to hunt something or other. What did he say?
Well, they train to pick up a sack and an axe and a light at night.
Yes.
You go out in the woods, you know, and they'll treat possums and coons and things like that.
Yes.
You can take my dog, like the dog I have, and blow a fox, blow that horn and train them with it. When you blow that horn, they know you're going to fox hunt.
Yes.
And Jack and those boys run that dog for anything. Not many dogs you can train that way.
Well, that's what I thought.
Well,
very few. Now, I had one. You know the dog I told you a story about? One after the other, probably won 7 different counties.
Yeah.
That dog, I could pick up a sack and axe and walk off my house with a lantern in my hand.
Yeah.
And he'd treat as many possums as any old possum dog, but he didn't like possums. And you turn right and next, and then I did that now. Mm-hmm. And they all said, my brother and brother-in-law said old Lee didn't see no 9 possums the night before.
Yeah.
And I'd started out that same night with Lee with a sack and axe to go and catch me with my brother a possum. Told him, I said, he will. I already left the road and started him off. Well, I heard someone blowing a horn down the road. I said, let's go back the road. That may be those fellas come and go hunting with me. Did it. We walked back out there, and it was. And had that there dog and won all these counties, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just blowed my horn, and did old Lee come back.
Yeah.
And we went back up to the house, and I told him, I said, it's 5 miles before we can strike a fox.
Let me tell you, Mr. Weaver, before you get off on that, You see, I never heard Jack Herring talk before.
Well, deer's talking.
Well, I don't care what it was. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what he said, you see.
Uh-huh.
He said he picked up a sack and that dog knew he'd gone out to get possums or whatever it was.
Well, they learned that.
And what else was it?
Let's see. He could say suey and they'll go and catch a hog. Some dogs you can train to do that.
Yeah.
And you can say, call a cow and says, catch that cow or horse. And call his name, and dog will say, once in a while you'll find one will do that.
Well,
most of them won't do that.
Well, but that was right at the start. He pick up something, you see, and light out, and that dog knew what they were going to get.
Yeah, it's the way they're
doing. But all I can remember is a sack. And then he'd pick up a gun, and the sack, and the dog would do something else.
Well, I didn't hear all of what he told you there. I wasn't listening to all of it, you see. But, You train them that way. If you raise them in one man, one or two just hound them, yeah. See.
Oh.
Well,
that has a lot
well,
to do
with it. Well, I'm going to tell you. Now, he was over there at Max's.
Yeah.
And Max's had borrowed that dog, or he let him lend it
he
to him.
He let him take it. I remember when he let him take it. No, he was telling you the truth.
Yeah. And yeah. Max's let that dog go in the hog pen with him.
Mm-hmm.
And that boar hog was just gentle coming up there.
Mm-hmm.
How'd Jack say that?
Well, he said about like that. Coming up to him for it to be petted, you know. And the dog saw that the hog bristled up, you know, and coming up did, they'll do that. I've had them do me that way, you know. They know me, you see, and coming up.
Talk to you.
That's the way they're talking, but of course, I don't know what to. On just about what to do, they got to do it before I know what they mean by it. So that he went ahead and the dog had been trained, you know, and they'd caught wild hogs with the dog, and when it had come, when it make anything like that, that dog run up there and protect its master.
Yeah.
There are some few dogs you can
well,
do
now, what would that dog do?
He'd catch that hog and hold it.
By the white. Catch it by the white.
Usually they get them by the hair.
Oh.
And stay right beside of them, and the hog turns around, they turn around with it, hold it.
And what Max is saying, he says, I didn't know this dog would...
Would catch? Run a hog or catch. He said, yes. He said, he run a hog or cow or a horse, either one, catch him.
Yeah.
And all I've seen him turn now, he'd go down and run rabbits down on the lake, and I'd hear that dog running. I know that he did do that and see him.
Yeah.
And just like he said, he told that over there.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen the dog do that myself.
Yeah. But then, if he wanted to run rabbits, he'd have a way of telling the dog he wanted him to run rabbits.
Well, I wasn't paying no attention to all of it, but you know, that's the way they do that, and they give them some kind of a signal,
yeah.
And talk to them, and they... And just like these here, you know, these dogs are trained to bite. I went in that place to see about getting him up that leather shop the other day to get him to get this man to I have a briefcase. And I wanted to keep it. See, I had it ever since about 22 or 23, and it's a solid leather one, and then the thread has come loose on it. And I was aiming to carry it up there and get him to sew it. But by the way, it's not the leather's just about rotten. I don't think they're paying it for it.
Oh, that's a trouble.
And I wanted
you've
to
keep it. You've got to keep that leather oiled.
Yeah, and keep it treated. So that I hadn't used it in years, you know. And I just let it go. And it didn't get enough air and didn't get enough of... nothing in use, we'd been using it, it had been better. So that this man's dog growled at me when I come in because he could smell dogs on me and he didn't understand it, you know. And he's got him trained for that, you see. And Jack Sanders went in, I didn't pay no attention to him.
Yeah.
Directly he looked at me and Carla gave a signal to you, the dog, you know. He spoke to him and says, what's the matter, something wrong? Said the dog.
Yeah.
And he come around, walked around, got around on the other side of me, between me and the door, and I was about half scared to death.
It's a little old bitty dog.
No, it's one of the big old German Shepherds training.
I see.
Uh-oh.
About a year and a half old, you know, just training him.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, Mr. Weaver.
Uh-huh.
I never realized before, you'd said, you know, sometimes Jack would talk and sometimes it wouldn't. It depends
yeah.
on how these things
yeah.
were. Now, he told you today what's wrong. He said he had something in both knees.
Well, you see, and he
got shot up, and he shot in the stomach.
Well, see, he's been, and his head, didn't you see his face and his shape? It used to not be that way. Jack was a pretty good-looking young man, you know. And you see, his nose all round like that, and they took the skin off of him and put it up way on his head and around on him.
And he had a plate in his head?
I imagine he had.
He said, this morning.
Yeah. And he probably has, I don't know, I don't remember all about that, you know, but remember.
Well, he said as he left.
Yeah.
He says, I was in the Army 5 years, 4 months, and 4 days, and 19 hours. You remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, just exactly. And he went off, and he don't like to talk about it. Well, I've heard him cry talking about being over there. Said he, you know, it comes back on him to go over and where they killed people, you know, and shot. When he didn't even know him, I heard him cry one day and said, I didn't even want to know. I'd never done me a bit of harm in life, and I had to shoot him. Well, you see, that's hard on your boy coming back.
Yeah.
I've seen him if it's in and out, and he just jumped this way and just, oh, they've been shell-shocked and all of that. And I got a lot of sympathy for those boys that's been in service.
Well, now, you had said that, but you'd said it in general, and I never paid much attention to what you said about him. But the way he put it this morning, that he had both knees.
And he's been in bad shape. Jack was a good boy and good working fella, and he used to work for me in the produce business, and he wouldn't beat you a penny, and he'd keep the book straight. That was before he went in service. After he come back, he's always been different. And I don't pay no attention to it. Sometimes it's a disgusting, you know. I'll tell you, I don't usually tell these things. I don't like drinking too much. And when somebody's there, and they come up with a little beer can and drinking, he just tires me up. I don't like it. Yeah. But I have to use my head and go ahead.
Yeah. Not much you can do about it.
No, or you just got to go along.
A lot of people do.
I've got to be nice to people. I can't go ahead and just fly up at every little thing. I know a lot of times I speak my last couple of years and ever since I've had this operation in here, it's got me all upset, my nerves. I may jump up and say something that I don't realize what I'm saying. Don't mean anything by it. But I can't help it, you see. I thought that hole would grow back up, but it ain't doing too good now. It's getting worse again.
She couldn't remember the names of those rabbits.
No, she couldn't. But
he could remember.
He could remember.
Everyone.
She says, who was behind this one? And he could remember. Do you remember
them
names?
You ought to see those rabbits. I don't remember half of them. I can't remember good that way anymore. I used to could, but I can't now. You could tell me anything, and you could ask me that question a long time. I wasn't as good as some of my cousins. I had some cousins that could meet you out here and not see you in 20 years, and see you in New York, not knowing anything about it, and even thought about you. He could walk up and take you with a hand and look at you a little bit and just talk, ask you a few questions out of the way, and he'd tell you where you seen you at in the last time. I was 17 years old, and I walked in his office in Birmingham when he was transferred back from the post office up there in at Washington, and and I was up there in Alabama, and I've been in Florida several years, and I hadn't seen him since I was 17 years old. And I walked in and I spoke to him, and I was just, it's all the same. He spoke to him and said, Weaver's my name. I took him by the hand, you know, and I didn't tell him who I was. Oh, yes, you didn't think I'd remember, said, this is Wiley Mack Weaver. and I don't know how many years it's been since I'd seen him. And he was gray. He wasn't gray the last time I seen him. Seen him leaving, going back to Washington.
You got plenty of bread?
Yes, thank you. I got a loaf this morning. I had about a half a loaf.
Yeah, so you don't need any more?
Yeah, let me eat this. We'll check on the
Let count. Me tell you, Mr. Weaver. I was thinking about something else. Don't you remember? I said, yes, I know Maxie Mixon.
Yeah,
he's still got land over there. And you know what he said?
Most out there on front's not his.
He didn't say that. You said that.
I did. Well,
he hooted.
That's what he meant. When he hooted that, that wasn't his.
He hooted. He says he's got land out there that you don't know just sideways. And then he lit in on him. He says, you got anything he says, you got to take it with a grain of salt. With a box of salt. Remember that?
Yeah.
Now, what's he talking about?
Well, just salt, you know, like his meaning, I reckon. I don't know. I reckon his meaning is that you couldn't depend on what Max has said. Well, that poor man's been cut all day.
Well, he's not talking about that cutting business. That's before he was cut, he's talking about. He's talking about Maxie when he was hunting dogs.
Oh, yeah. Well, when he was talking about the hunting the dogs now.
But he was said you had to take it with a box of salt, anything he told you. Now,
yeah.
What did he mean by it?
Well, I reckon that he might tell you something wrong.
Such as?
Yeah, you could just read between lines.
Well,
anyway.
He don't mean he's lying to you. He mean he's...
Talks too much. Couldn't depend on what he said sometimes. That's where I took it. I may be wrong. That Maxie, you know, might...
Well, now, look who he included. He included old Era Whittington?
Yeah.
And old G.P. Leitner?
No one G.P. was.
Yes, it was.
Well, I thought it was another Leitner.
Lawrence?
Lawrence? Well, Lawrence
was
his
G.P. too.
He did?
Yes,
well,
he did.
Well, I wasn't paying no attention to it because I don't like to hear anything like that too much.
I don't know why.
They were big
buddies, you know.
Well,
and I told that story on Jake. And, what's the grass thing?
Crabgrass.
Crabgrass is what I was trying to think of.
Crabgrass
hay.
Well, crabgrass hay is good.
Well, you see, I couldn't think about it. And he told me about that, and I didn't know.
I mean, up in Alabama. I don't. Now in Florida, I don't think it's much.
Yeah, they do it down here, too.
They do?
Yes. And I didn't know how to take it, you see, whether he was... imposing on me or telling me the truth. Well, it turned out he's telling me the truth, you see, but he did it with such a straight face, Mr. Weaver. And that's what I thought he meant about Maxie. He said they're all big buddies, you see.
Well, they like each other, but, you know, they'll tell things that, you know, a lot of times people tell doing things as a joke.
Sure.
And,
well, that's not against them. It's,
no.
No.
Yeah.
These things are just a joke. Trying to find out something yourself. You can do this. You can, if you want to find out something about a fellow, how he feels about it, like in politics, you can go ahead and say a little, if you know, like I know you are, that you like a certain person and going to support them, I'll just take a politician, you see. Like that. Well, you can say, if you are for them, if I want to find out to get the points, find that they are for you, I can play like I'm against that man and somebody else. And you go ahead and tell me all those good points about him or for that man, and you can find out by doing that.
Yeah.
Well, you take a person like Jackie, is at times he's different than others on account of his physical condition. I can't speak words sometimes, and it's kind of embarrassing. And
it don't embarrass me.
Well, it does me though, because I can't help it. I wasn't that way before I met
you.
You
don't bother me
And so that I've done that and found out, you know. And well, I was wanting to find out. I was for that man myself, and I was wanting to get the points, you know.
Yeah.
And what the other man people thought about it, you know.
Yeah.
And if you go ahead and just disagree with the fellow just a little on something out of the way, he'll tell you more than he will if you don't do that. You've done that, I imagine.
Yeah.
I have. I've done
that. Well, now look, Mr. Weaver, this woman he came tell you about, is that one of his relatives, Mary or Marion?
Yeah. No, it's fella used to be, was Hutt. You remember Hutt that drank so much and stayed up on the streets there for several years.
Yeah.
And couldn't drive. And I drove him around, Buster drove him around, Jack drove him, helped him. Like, he died here not long ago, and his wife, you know. We all knew him, you see. I'd go up there, he had to go every week to Gainesville. Hutt, he didn't want his wife driving back at 9 o'clock, and sometimes she had to work till 9 o'clock.
Oh.
And be too late in the night to drive back, so something happened, you know. And he'd get some of us to drive him up there, and he couldn't drive. And we'd pick her up, you know, on that day. You see, he'd get someone to go with him to drive back till that morning.
Mm-hmm.
And his father-in-law was sick, you see, and he wasn't able to, and he couldn't go both times. Well, some of us would go overnight for him.
Yeah, Jack went.
Jack would go some, Bus would go some, and I'd go and drive. We never did charge him anything, but they always wanted to give me something, but I told them no. Well, they gave me a little clock for Christmas present, and they brought me a nice blanket they gave me for a Christmas present, you know, because I'd went and helped them out, you see. And this Merriman that he's speaking about down there, that's his wife, and she's been dead about a month, I reckon, or two.
He has.
And so I went down there. Well, I drove him down there when he moved down there to carry some stuff, and have the lights cut on so they could move down there one day. I drove him down there one day.
Uh-huh.
And they're just as nice as they could be to people. They lived up here for about 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Or maybe longer than that.
So well, now, what's Jack's connection with them?
Just friends. He and his wife and them. See, Hunt used, before he got to where he couldn't get around, they used to come back up and visit Jack and his wife.
Oh, they lived down there a good while, but then they'd come back up here?
Yeah, they'd come back up and visit Jack and his wife.
Mm-hmm. So they were just buddies?
They were friends.
Friends. And now she's not doing too good.
Well, his mother's not doing too good, and she's worrying about Hunt dying. That's what it is. And they go down there and see her, so she can pass off the time. You know,
oh, you mean
died.
Hunt's mother?
No, Hunt himself is dead.
Yes.
And
who's doing the worrying?
Merriman.
Well, who's Merriman?
Hunt's wife.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
We didn't get it straight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why.
Well,
you all didn't get that.
Yeah, that was
she,
the trouble.
Oh.
Merriman, she's doing the worrying.
Yeah, so see, her husband has just died, you know.
Yeah.
And
well, you said it was his mother. It's his wife.
Well, Hutt's wife.
Yes.
Get it right now. It's Hutt's wife.
I got it now.
And Merriman was a man and wife.
Some difference mm-hmm. between mother and wife, you know.
Yeah, well, her mother's down there, and he said something about her mother not doing too good. Jack did.
Oh.
And you didn't catch it.
Yeah,
oh.
That's it.
You didn't catch that part
but
of it.
But Hutt's wife's doing all right. It's
yeah.
It's Hutt's mother. Or Merriman's mother.
Merriman's mother.
Yeah.
Well, his wife was worrying about Hutt dying.
Yeah.
Because they did. I don't know how long they've been living together. A long time.
How far down is that, Lord?
Down just below Leesburg.
Yeah.
Down at Turkey Lake. You know where Turkey Lake is?
About. I know where Leesburg is.
Well, it's down below there, just on the left.
Yeah. Well, that's no distance. Y'all can go down
not.
There.
You go down there on Sunday. They go down on Sunday, stay a while, and come back.
Yeah.
I don't know where I'm going to go or not. It's only how I feel. I don't.
Well, now, let me tell you. What was it you was fixing for Maxie, that concrete?
No, you getting that mixed up.
Why Maxie?
What? No, that wasn't Maxie. That was, don't you remember? I'm thinking, see if you, I'm going to let you see if you can straighten it out.
Was it Maxie's husband, father?
No, what? Who was you talking about over there? Another fella.
GP?
No, it wasn't GP.
Lawrence?
Yeah. It was Lawrence.
Oh, it was Lawrence.
It was Lawrence. I thought you got that.
Oh, hell, Lawrence never did pay the first price on anything, did he?
He's close, but he got his way. I don't.
Lawrence.
Yeah, you see, I told him what I got for pulling it, you know, and he wanted me to come out there, and they started, you see, before the time come. And they had it all poured and setting up, nobody finishing it. And I started to leave. I knew what that meant. And you know how if you don't finish cement just at the right time, you in trouble. And that's when I worked there all day long, and I was so tired and I couldn't work for 2 or 3 days after that.
Yeah.
See, cement don't work for me good no way. I never could use cement.
Oh, really?
And it messed
well, what up. Was he? What was he doing?
Yeah. Don't you remember what I told you?
Putting cement down.
And hog stove.
Now, Miss Smith, isn't that something I could not remember?
Oh,
and hog stove.
He was going to put hogs on cement.
Yeah, and then he got these big pine, and he was talking that day, and everybody come up says, "How big is the people going to be see?" These big fine Poland China hogs coming in and out here and going down. I think to myself, You don't know what you're getting into. I've been in the hog business myself, and I never made nothing but one time on hogs.
Yeah.
Now, my father used to make a whole lot on hogs when he let them run out on the range.
Yeah.
Had a lot of hogs and plenty of mash then, and plenty for them to eat, either on the woods, take them up and fatten them on corn and put them to the market.
Well, Mr. Weaver, I thought Lawrence was too sharp to get caught on anything like that.
Well,
putting in money to raise hogs when he knew what
happened. Of course, it's too much. The feed's too high.
Yeah.
Feed's too high. It's just like this about me, about dogs now. If I was able to tend to them and get and had a place to train them, I could make
money. Well, let me tell you, when did he do that? Back when they was, they was all interested in hogs in here.
Well, that hadn't been too awful long. That's been about, I reckon, 12, 15 years ago.
That all?
Yeah, something like that when that was. Now, they've had beans, they've been farmers, and they're good workers, and his father and mother, you know, they're all good workers, and they was the closest people I believe I ever seen with a penny. His father and mother was.
Yeah.
They got me casting beans to Gainesville to the market and open up that market. I've been in the produce business before, you see. We went up there and they kept on and wanting to get a little nickel high on the hamper, you know. After a while, they made all the buyers mad and they wouldn't buy them and they didn't get hat. Then directly they wouldn't even take them at all. And I told them, I said, you're wanting to went too far on that. I said, the market ain't that. Those fellas was just trying to help you out because you didn't have but a few. And they're just too close, you know. You can be too close or you can throw your money away. Yeah, either one. And so I went ahead and went around to some of the buyers and I got them to give them as much as I could for them. They lost about 6 or 7 thousand
well,
to help them.
Well, now.
I'm not selling them. I tried to get them, but I didn't let it go.
That's right. You see what happened? Jack and Lawrence and Maxie. And all that bunch, all of them run dogs.
Well, Jack and those boys didn't hunt too much. Their granddad, or someone gave them that dog when it was a puppy. And they lived in Georgia, and they moved to Florida, they bought it. I mean, they brought it down here. Jack and his boys didn't hunt just for that, but they hunted a whole lot when they're Georgia when they moved down there. Their dog was grown and trained then. When they moved.
Well, he talked like he had handled a lot of dogs.
Well, he has handled lots of them of different, just some kinds, you know, but he didn't buy and sell dogs, never did have very many, about two at the time, as many as they ever had at one time.
That's two more than I ever had.
Well, you take some people just can't understand the thoughts of a dog. You can't understand to hear a dog bark.
Well,
it worries people.
Let me tell you. Now, Mr. Weaver, you see, what Jack said this morning, and this puts him in a whole new, he looks entirely different, you see. You see him back before the war and before he got into all that other stuff, you see.
Yeah.
And before he got them plates and all in his head. And there him and Maxie just had dogs, and he went out there, you see, and him and old Lawrence had business together, whatever it was.
Well, they played together. I reckon they went to school together, you know, all back at that time.
Yeah.
And they'd been around together.
Yeah.
Well, you take a fellow like Jackie as he and him drinking, they'll get mixed up, and he's talking, too.
You could see this, you see. This was way back before that. He was talking about.
When he played with him and all like that, that was before he got hurt and everything.
Sure.
That was back when they were growing up.
Yes.
And
but they're all young then.
Yeah, all of them was. And I don't know, they may have had business dealing since then. I don't know.
But now, when you talked about lines, that was just, as you say, 10 or 12 years ago.
I really, I didn't wasn't charging large near what I would have, because I was out that away in the bean field one day, and I was hauling beans right close to his place for a fellow, you know, getting out of the field for him, and come up a shower of rain with it. Before I could get out, you know, I got stuck in there, and he come over there and pulled me out, Lawrence did. I said, how much owe you, Lawrence? He wouldn't charge me a penny.
He didn't.
He didn't charge me a penny for it.
He didn't.
No, sir. And I thought, too, he had charged me.
You but was he, almost certain he'd charge you.
But he didn't. You'd have thought if you'd been knowing him right smart about him, how close he is, you'd have thought he'd charge me. He wouldn't let me pay him. I said, I'll pull out the money. I said, here, I know it's worth a dollar to cut, crank up the tractor and come out here and pull me out. No, he said. He says, I might need you to help me.
Is that right?
Well, I said, well, if you get caught in the tide, I'll help you.
Well, now, was that back before the concrete
business? Yeah, and I was going to, I knocked off about 50 cents an hour from what I charged for it on account he'd pull me, come out there and lean for you and wouldn't charge me. But he'd use me down to a dollar. I come down to a dollar and a half an hour and he'd use me down to a dollar.
He did.
I cast him as well. I said, I might be out here again. I said, so I asked him, he'd hit me again. I said, that's all right, Lawrence. And I knew he wasn't going to make nothing much on the hogs, figured he wouldn't. And I hated to charge him anything.
Yeah.
On that account. Because I'd
well, how did he
out.
Get into that, Mr. Weaver?
I don't know. He just got.
Because he's a sharp, quick, shrewd dealer,
well,
you know.
He's pretty shrewd, all right.
But he got caught.
Well, if you get in it at the wrong time, now if you hit it, just exactly the right time, you're all right. It's just like growing beans. You can grow a good crop of beans here, you'll make several $1,000. Maybe next year you lose that much.
Did Maxie ever do any trapping out there on his place?
Yeah, he trapped some, not much. He trapped some, caught furs. He sold them to me when I was in the fur business. And he'd bring them in all around. I used to buy lots of furs just 90 days.
Well, now Maxie, you know, I get the picture that Maxie was a right outstanding fellow out there in his community.
Well, Maxie always was all right with me and treated me all right. I sold when I was selling cars one time. I sold him. He sold his father. His father was close, you know, and the car that I was getting wasn't any good much, you know, and I couldn't pay too much for it, drive too much for it. I think about $50-$60. Well, Max said one of his sisters had some money and they was wanting a new car, and I didn't know where I could get carry the car in or not. And he wanted $90 or $100 for having on a trade in. Well, it didn't sell about $350, and I couldn't give that much because there's just a new wheel on it and a tire too and a little that we could get anything out of. And I told him about $35 all I could allow on that car on the trade-in, you know. So Max and his sister got together and says, you go ahead and we'll give you $60, you see, and go ahead and trade with them. We pay, and they paid $30 a piece. Only said, we own a new car. And said, Daddy don't know. He was put bad shape. And They both of them gave me what they said. Father went ahead and traded, went in, and I carried the money in the down payment on it.
Do you remember the car he got?
It's a T model.
With two seats?
Yeah, it's a touring car.
With an open?
Open seat. Top, open top.
Open
two.
Top?
Yeah.
I saw a picture of him.
With that?
Standing next to it. And it looked like it was brand new. And he had them long mustaches.
And Maxie did?
Maxie's daddy.
Oh, Maxie's daddy, yeah. Well, I don't know where that was. Now, that may have been a picture of the car that I got from him, or a picture. It was an old car I got from him. But I was trading him a 33 or 34 was the model, T model, when I traded with him. And
34 or 5.
Yeah. I mean 24
yes.
T model.
Yeah.
I meant to say that. I was about to get mixed up.
Well, yeah. Now you know his sister Lois.
Yeah. Well, she's the one that helped pay and him was the one paid it.
And what's the other sister out there?
I don't remember. The other, he had about three, four, or five sisters.
Miss Bell.
Yeah, she had Miss Bell and Miss Gladney, and I don't remember just how many sisters.
Yeah, a whole bunch of them.
There's about four or five, I know, that, maybe more than that. And there's several boys, too. But I don't remember all of them's names, let's see.
Do you remember when Maxie cut his house down from two stories to one?
I don't know. Seemed to me like, I don't remember where I'd been by there until I went by there here not too long ago.
Oh, really?
I don't believe I'd seen it. It was a two-story building. I believe I'd been out that road, and I heard he's sick and put a bad shape, and I was going to Fleming's, and I just drove down and went out that way. And,
yeah.
And he'd been in the hospital in his bad shape. I was surprised. I wouldn't recognize him, but I'd seen him out away from there after he had been operated on. See, he has cancer all up in here.
Yeah.
It's all been cut out.
Yeah, but he's healthy.
Yeah, but I didn't worry much. I won't stay much around. Because he won't go in like
he
that.
He can't hear.
He can't hear.
He don't have a good hearing.
He can't hear good. His daddy couldn't hear, and his sisters couldn't hear good. One of them.
Just went in the family, didn't it?
Yeah. There's three or four of them couldn't hear good. But they're all nice to me, every one of them.
Yeah.
Oh, his brother. Now, he had a brother just about as close as Ross Gardner.
Joe.
Henry.
Well, did Henry own land out there right next to him?
No, he owned back over there close to where Harvard Gladney up on the hill from Zetrow, back east to Zetrow, towards McIntosh.
Yeah.
He owned land there. That's where Henry lived up there.
I see.
Well, he was close. Well, that's all right, by the way. It's better to be close than this to not have nothing. Because I haven't been close enough myself where I could have been in better shape. I wouldn't be down on the hog now.
people.
If I'd have took care of my money a little better than I did. But I'll tell you this, I'll never figure this. If I give somebody sick or hungry or something to eat, I'll never figure I've ever lost a penny at that.
Well, now, these people out there, Mr. Weaver, you see, we talk about them being close, you know, and taking what they say with a box of salt, but they were some of the nicest people in this whole country.
They were nice people. They were good people out in there, and all those people, they were just as nice, and if you'd went out back in those days, you know, if you'd went out there and got stuck, they'd all come help you out and wouldn't charge you a penny.
Oh, no.
Anything like that. I know one night, Dr. Roseboro, when the first I've been here, but about a year, a little over, I just got a new T model. So that Dr. Roseboro had an Essex, and there's five of them that one time with the flu in that house, in bad shape. And Dr. Roseboro asked me, he says, I don't believe I can get out to Mr. Mixon, and I've got to go back out there tonight. He said, will you run me out there? Said, you believe you can make it, you're a T-model, but I can't with my Essex. You know, it is low on the ground. He says, now the one place just before we get to the house, but says there'll be plenty there if we get stuck. And we got that as the worst looking place you ever tried to go in, you know. And he said, now don't be afraid, just go ahead on through there. If you get stuck, they'll come get us out. So I went on through in there, got through and didn't get stuck. When I came back out, and there's places where everybody nearly been, you get stuck without having to try to stay out of them, cut around and make new ruts. And I didn't know if I was going to get through or not, but I had to. I couldn't turn around. We went out there. And that was before I sold him the car. And you know, Mr. Mixon didn't want to buy no car, but when they found out I was selling car, and he and see, I was barbering too at that time. He called me the little barber. Mr. Wayne weighed over 200 pounds. They called him the big barber, me the little barber. So that he'd always ask about the little barber after that, and they all offered to pay me for bringing Dr. Roseboro. And he asked me, I said, Dr. Roseboro, I don't charge sick people like that for having them out. I says, I don't do that. And I said, people wouldn't charge me. And I says, they wouldn't charge me. And I can't afford to take anything. And then after that's when I sold him the car.
But that was a fine community, Mr. Weaver.
Well, you take Zedra out of nice people, and those liners are good people.
Well, now, Max Mixon, and then over there, I don't know what kin they were, old man Ben Mixon and Miss Lily. I don't know whether they're kin or not. They were Mixons, too.
Well, that was Ben Mixon was their father.
Old man Ben?
I think that's right.
And Miss Lily?
I think that's right. I think that was his, Max's father and mother. I may be wrong. Maybe one of the older boys. Let's see, there's about five or six boys of them, too.
Well, now you got, let me see. Now, old man Ben's children, there's Sybil married Willie Chitty, and Miles Mixon out there, and Ike Mixon. They all Ben's children.
Yeah, Miles. Is he Miles dead?
No. I just saw him last week. He's live and kicking. He had that service station over Williston on the same corner for 19
Miles,
years.
Miles is different. Yeah, Miles Mixon. That's the one I was thinking of. Let's see.
Now, you see, he's about my age.
Well, I believe you may be talking about your age.
Yeah.
Yeah, Miles Mixon is.
Oh, he's younger than I am, I guess.
He's younger than you are. Yeah, I was getting mixed up with another one that died. It was Ben Mixon's, I believe it was.
Yeah.
I can't remember all those fellas' names.
It's
been so
remember.
Long since
I... Well, Ben and Miss Lily.
Ben...
I thought Max's daddy was different. But you see, I don't know.
Well, I may be wrong, but I think Max, all of those boys that you talking about, well, now listen, Ben, Miles Mixon, now the younger, he's one of Ben Mixon was, I think he was old, or the Max's and all of them's daddy, that about 10 or 12. Of children, and he was the daddy. The old man Ben Mixon, they called him. I think that, and I think that's the one. Now, then those other ones and those girls, I don't remember all their names.
No.
Not near all of them.
That's old man Ben's children. I know that.
Not Ben's children.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, those are.
Sybil and.
Yeah, those is.
Miles and all them over there, but now I don't know how. Maxie fits in.
Well, Maxie was Ben's youngest boy. If I ain't mistaken.
Oh, yeah.
I may have got mixed up in it, but I think, and I know I furnished iced potatoes for one of the Mixons out there to grow potatoes for me, and I was in the produce business out there. We bought several bags and somebody asked me if I knew how my potatoes are coming up out there. I said, I don't know. I said, I got Mr. Mixon looking after it. And when they got to where they could dig, some of them, he came in town. They asked
me. But now, all these fellas knew about dogs. Maxie did and Lawrence.
Well, they all hunted some. They used to hunt some. I reckon more. They used to go deer hunting. That's what Maxie kept this dog for us, more to deer hunt with. That he got from Jack.
Yeah.
He's just a good combination dog.
Yeah.
Well,
let's go out there. Let me tell you, all I need is just a little advice out there, Mr.
Okay.
Weaver. Let me get my.
Sound too over in the end of this visit with Mr. Weaver to get some information to piece out what old Jack Herron said this morning. Channel 2 over. The. Channel 2 over around 7:65 or 70. Channel 2 over, and this is Tuesday, the 2nd of May, 72. 2nd of May, 72. Channel 2 over, and the end of the visit, Mr. Weaver, here in the middle of the day to piece out what old Jack Herron said over at his house.